Got a men's breakfast, and Grant is going to be talking to us. He's a bit of an adventurer, and not only did he go up the coast of Mozambique with a wind buggy, but he also did a trip in Namibia, and he learned lots from the Lord during that, and he's going to be coming and talking to us about that and putting it down into spiritual experience, how he understood it from a spiritual point of view, and that's just a little bit of teaser to get you to come to the breakfast on next Saturday, the Coffee Corner at 7 o'clock. Admission's free; you pay to get out. What do? You've got to give a donation for your breakfast. It's not the same as paying to get out. If you can't, then that's fine. But we just invite donations if you want to do that. But that's what we're going to be doing next Saturday at 7 o'clock. Our men's breakfast. We're talking about the second in our series on forgotten virtues. And tonight we're doing purity, and I just want to read about what Jesus did for his church. He loved his church, gave himself up for her. Why did he do that? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present his church to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's what the Lord died to do for us, and that is what he is doing for us, making us spotless, making us blameless, making us pure. There's an important question that we're going to be looking at tonight. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? What picture do you have of yourself? It's an important question, because how we see ourselves will determine the things which we will do and the things which we won't do. How we see ourselves will determine what we feel comfortable doing and what we feel uncomfortable doing. Neil Anderson makes the following statement. It's an important statement. He says, "We cannot consistently behave in a way different from how we see ourselves." We cannot consistently behave in a way from how we see ourselves. So if we see ourselves in one way, if we're acting differently from how we see ourselves, we're going to be uncomfortable, because that's not how we really see ourselves. And ultimately, we're going to default back to acting in a way which is consistent with how we see ourselves. So how we see ourselves is really important. He has a little guy. All his life he's been told he's clumsy. All his life he's been told he's got no ball skills. And that poor little guy starts to believe that he's clumsy with no ball skills. And guess what? One day he gets involved in a casual soccer game, and because we act in a way consistent with how we see ourselves, he sees himself as clumsy with no ball skills. How does he play? Badly, right? Because you cannot consistently act in a way which is different from how you see yourself. On the other hand, if a child is brought up with love and positive affirmation, generally the child is going to grow up to be confident and self-assured. They will behave in a way consistent with how they see themselves. Now, I was thinking about all this stuff the other day. I think about funny stuff sometimes. And I was thinking about all this. And then I got to thinking about a bride. See, my mind kind of, there's this random firing of synapses and jumps from one thing to another. And I was thinking about a bride and how a bride, since she was little, has been dreaming about the day she gets married. And she gets this wonderful picture of herself in her mind. And I think, don't you think she dreams that she sees herself something like this? Hey, Is that the picture she's got in mind of herself? Is that what she's dreaming about? Well, I'm not a girl, so I can't really answer that question, but I know it's not what my daughter thought about when she got married. Rather, she can imagine that everything will be perfect. She has this mental picture of a bride, beautiful, everything just as it should be. And on her wedding day, she makes doubly sure that nothing will spoil what she has been imagining herself to be as she grows up. Now, I've done many weddings. And really, I sat and thought about this, as I said, and I can't remember even one bride who was not actually beautiful on her wedding day. How they see themselves comes out in how they actually look. This means that there is no way that you will get a bride to walk through the mud on her wedding day. If her dad's motor car breaks down with a flat tire, there's no way she's going to help him change the tire on the way to the church. She doesn't want to get grease all over herself. She will make sure that she steers clear of anything that will spoil how she wants to look when she gets married. Which brings us back to our question, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Because how you see yourself will determine what you will and won't do. How you see yourself will determine your standard of purity. You get that? How you see yourself will determine your standard of purity. Now, the virtue we are talking tonight is purity. And here's our text. Because we have these promises, and I'm not going to go into the many promises which we have about who we are in Christ and what He's done for us and what He's given us, but because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Let us work towards complete purity because we fear God. Not a cringing fear, but a loving reverence. We don't want to offend Him. We don't want to do anything that will make Him uncomfortable. So we make sure we don't do things that make Him uncomfortable, which means that we are working towards our purity. Now, for the sake of our conversation tonight, we're going to be using words like purity and holiness and cleansing interchangeably. Those are the kind of words which we would expect to be associated with Christians. We expect Christians to be holy and pure and clean, and what we want to know is what that means. What does it mean for me to be holy? What does it mean for me to be pure and clean? What can I do and still be pure and holy and clean? What kind of things ought to avoid because I won't be pure and holy and clean? And really, the easiest way for me to have gone about this tonight, the very easiest way for me to have done it would be to have given you a long list of do's and don'ts. I could have said, yeah, well, hand out, go home, study this, and just make sure that as you live your life, oh, I can't do this. Oh, no, that's okay, I can do it. That would have been the easiest way of doing it. But guess what? We're not going down that route because Jesus set us free from rules and regulations. He's given us something different to help us wrestle with these things ourselves. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. Not go down the legalistic route. Which is why we have to answer the question, how do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as God sees us? Now we started looking at a bride. And we saw that a bride sees herself in a certain way. And because she sees herself in a certain way on her wedding day, she needs no one to tell her, well, you can do this, you can't do that. Because she will herself do nothing that will spoil how she sees herself. She'll do nothing that detracts from how she sees herself, how she wants herself to be. She's beautifully dressed in her white wedding dress. Her hands are clean. She's wearing a delicate perfume. No one has to tell her, look, you better not go walking in the mud, you could get dirty. No one has to tell her, don't go changing motor car tires. No one has to tell her not to get too hot and sweaty because you don't want to perspire and lose that delicate fragrance of the perfume. Nobody has to tell her to do that. Because there is no way she will do those things. Because of how she sees herself. She doesn't want to spoil herself for her day and for her husband. It's important that we understand who we are and answer the question, how do we see ourselves? The bride does not need legalism. She doesn't need a list of do's and don'ts for my wedding day. Because she's not going to do anything which is inconsistent with how she wants to look on her wedding day. In fact, she might be a little bit over the top and do things which actually are okay, but she's not going to take a chance because she doesn't want to spoil how she looks. You see, more than anything, as a bride, she wants to remain clean and pure and holy. Now, I use the example of a bride on purpose because the Bible speaks about the church as Jesus' bride. Jesus is the groom and the church is a bride. And if we have understood anything about what I've been saying so far about a bride and her behavior on a wedding day, then intuitively we know what is and isn't okay for Christians to do. You get that? If we've understood anything that I've said, intuitively, we in fact know what is and isn't okay for the church, the bride of Christ, to do. We don't need a list of do's or don'ts because we know, because we have a relationship with Him, we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the teaching of Scripture telling us who we are. We don't need a list. But let's see if this principle of working from who we are actually works in some very obvious things. Hopefully what I'm going to be giving as examples are kind of not really, you know, we all kind of agree on them, hopefully. Can a Christian have sex before marriage and remain pure? Now hopefully we don't have to enter into discussion about this. Is it okay for a couple to meet, form a relationship, and just as part of that relationship, jump into bed? Well, let's take it to the picture of the bride. Picture that bride. She is dressed in white. She is clean. She is beautiful. She exudes the subtle fragrance of her perfume. She cannot wait to say, I do, an hour or two later. Tell me, would it be appropriate for her to slip into bed with some guy as she waits for her groom? I didn't think so. Let's apply the principle. Jesus is our groom. He is waiting to receive us eternally. We know that Jesus has given us the gift of sex. Sex was God's idea, by the way. It's not off limits when we talk about it. It's God's idea. It's a gift to us, and it is there to enhance the intimacy of our marriage relationship. Now, would Jesus, our groom, be happy watching us slip into bed with different people before we got married? Well, if it's not appropriate for the bride to slip into bed with somebody before she walks down the aisle and says, I do, then it's not appropriate for Christians either. If we just cannot imagine the bride waiting outside to slip into bed with somebody and the groom to be happy with that, then it's probably not okay for us in our relationship with Jesus to do it either outside of the context of marriage. So the principle works. Let's try it again. Often I've been asked the question, and often people come in and point out to me about the way people dress, what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. Is it okay to wear this? Is it not okay to wear this? And generally, they have in mind something that's more revealing than some people might feel comfortable with. And so we ask ourselves the question, what can I wear appropriately which leaves me pure and clean and holy? Well, again, we go back to our bride and we think about her waiting for her groom. And while she's waiting for a groom, would it be appropriate for her to dress in a way that causes the men walking past her to stare at her with lust because of the clothes she's wearing? Would it be appropriate? Would her groom be pleased to look at this and say, "Well, I'm so glad everybody's looking at my wife to be with lust"? Or would he be a bit unhappy about that? Well, if her physical groom wouldn't be pleased, why would our spiritual bridegroom, Jesus, be pleased if we were dressed in such a way that causes people to look at us with lust? I think it works in that case as well. Is it okay to watch a little bit of porn, we wonder? I mean, everybody does it. And sadly, to make that statement, everyone does it, is hardly an exaggeration. The number of people, men and women, who go onto the internet porn sites is scary. And it's scary not just because we Christians, but people who even aren't Christians, and the damage it does, it is scary, scary, scary. A lot of people are doing it. Is it okay for us to do it? Well, go back to our bride. There she is, looking beautiful as she waits for her groom. But while she's waiting outside in the car, and her dad is driving her to the church, she pops open her smartphone and she Googles a porn site and she sits there watching porn. And she gets out and there the groom sees her on a porn site. What is she doing, he wonders? Would he be happy? Would the bride be happy if she walks down the aisle and sees her husband-to-be sitting there just checking through a few porn sites before they got married? What does our heavenly bridegroom think about us when we do that kind of stuff? So we go back to our question. How do we see ourselves? You see, how we see ourselves determines what we believe will be okay and not okay to do. But even here we must be careful because the standards of society are changing. And so if we are relying on a majority vote to decide what is and isn't acceptable, we can still end up doing impure things. Because just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right from a biblical perspective. We live in an environment where increasingly there are no absolute standards, where what is acceptable is determined by popular vote. And surely if a lot of people are doing it, must be okay. No, it's not okay. I spent 23 years as a pastor in Stellenbosch. There were something like 28,000 students at the university. Most of them were younger undergraduates. Most of them away from home for the first time. Stellenbosch was an equal opportunity town. There were approximately 35 pubs and clubs and approximately 35 churches. You had an equal opportunity to become a sinner or a saint when you went to university at Stellenbosch. Trouble was, most of the young students chose to follow the crowds. And often the crowds went to the pubs and the clubs. And so we had what we called Saterdag and Klein Saterdag. For those of you who are not bilingual, that is Saturday and Little Saturday. But Little Saturday is Wednesday night. You see, Saturday night and Wednesday night were the two big drinking nights. And they used to drool all day at how drunk they were going to get on Wednesday night and Saturday night. And if you drove the streets of Stellenbosch early hours Thursday morning and early hours of Sunday morning, you would see drunk students stumbling home. And because everybody was doing it, it was okay. So be careful. We need biblical standards of what is acceptable and isn't. Because more and more, what is pure and acceptable is determined by popular vote. If they're all doing it, can't be bad. So, can we get drunk and still be pure as a Christian? Well, let's apply the test, shall we? How would the groom feel about his bride stumbling down the aisle, you know, knocking the chairs over and all these bouquets put neatly on the side of the chairs and she's knocking them off? And how would the groom feel about the bride stumbling down the aisle? And would the bride be proud of herself when she looked at that camera's videos the next day and saw herself stumbling and slurring over to, do I? Okay.
Well, I wasn't always a Christian, you know.
No. That was a joke. I never was into that. Sadly, I started cycling too early to kind of let myself go like that, you know. I just wasn't. You see, how I saw myself as a cyclist meant I didn't smoke or drink because I wasn't prepared to compromise my cycling. So, anyway, I think we know the answer whether the groom would like his bride coming down like that. But here is the point. Can you see how important the question is? Can you see how important it is to ask the question, how do you see yourself? Because that is vital in determining what is acceptable and what isn't. And so, do you have a biblical view of yourself? And just quickly, here is some of the things which give us a biblical view of ourselves. Remember, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Remember, you are a new creation in Christ. Remember, you are Christ's friend. Remember, you are a member of the body of Christ. Remember that you have been redeemed at a price. Your sins have been forgiven. It's as though you have never sinned. Remember, you are God's temple. Remember, you are God's workmanship. Remember, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's who you are. And lots of others if you go through Scripture. How do you see yourself? Purity is a forgotten virtue, but Christians embrace purity. We embrace purity because we want our behavior to be consistent with who we are. And who we are is who Christ says we are. And the overarching picture is this: we are the bride of Christ, and it is just not right that Christ's bride be beautifully dressed, cleansed by Christ's death, that we should do anything to dirty ourselves. When we are confronted with a choice, keep that picture in mind and let that picture determine the appropriateness of what we should or should be doing. Now, you've got a couple of questions to go through, which I've asked Janine to add a few. When you get to my age, you get a bit out of touch with stuff that's challenging, but there's stuff there, and hopefully we'll see if the system works as we discuss some of these things now. But before we do that, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we know that all of us face challenges, all of us have choices. But Lord, I also believe that all of us who know and love Jesus want to please Him. And so Lord, as we look at this stuff now, help us to bear in mind that we want to please the Lord Christ, our bridegroom. In Jesus' name, amen.